welcome to Grits and the Gospel. It is the fourth Sunday after Easter, and we continue through our time with the parables and the visitations of Jesus before his ascension. And I am so happy to be with you today. It's a beautiful spring day and a beautiful week, and I am thankful that you have joined me today. Let us come together in a posture of prayer and worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's epistle lesson comes from the first letter of John. We are in the third chapter, verses 16 through 24. Hear now the words of the first book of John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him, wherever our hearts commend us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that has given us. The Word of God, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us now recite the words of the Apostles' Creed as we remember the things of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Dear Lord, on this beautiful spring day, we come together remembering what it's like to be in the flock that you love and protect, that we are all the other sheep that have come to you, that we are all saved by you in your name, the Good Shepherd that guides and cares for us. Hear now the words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now the words of the Gospel according to John. We're in the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18 today. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Attention, please, he said in a loud, firm voice. Will the party who addressed me at bedtime last night kindly make himself or herself known by giving an appropriate sign or signal? Wilbur paused and listened. All the other animals lifted their heads and stared at him. Wilbur blushed. But he was determined to get in touch with his unknown friend. Attention, please, he said. I will repeat the message. Will the party who addressed me at bedtime last night kindly speak up? Please tell me where you are, if you are my friend. The sheep looked at each other in disgust. Stop your nonsense, Wilbur, said the oldest sheep. If you have a new friend here, you're probably disturbing his rest, and the quickest way to spoil a friendship is to wake somebody up in the morning before he is ready. How can you be sure your friend is an early riser? The oldest sheep in Charlotte's Web is the voice of reason and the voice of grumpiness at times, speaking truth and telling the pig what was to come. Now, Jesus was not a grumpy sheep. He was a loving and kind shepherd. But I think the story does have some parallels to our text today. Jesus reminds us how to care for people in our text, just like the sheep in Charlotte's Web not so gently reminds Wilbur how to be kind. And sometimes the straightforward way is the best. But for Jesus, it is the visual and the parallel to the familiar that he chooses to use when helping us understand salvation and comfort that comes from being one of the flock. For the people of the early church, they lived in agrarian society. So the image of the wolf taking their flocks was very powerful. Their livelihood was dependent on the safety of their sheep. Being able to feed their families was directly affected by the ability to keep the wolves away and the trustworthiness of their hired hands. Today, when I read these verses about a wolf coming after the flock, I think of Little Red Riding Hood or Charlotte's Web. Not my entire life being threatened. That's why this I am is so powerful to the early church. The idea that they could be part of the world where Jesus, the Good Shepherd, would guard them and care for them and keep the wolves away and help them know when the hired hands were not being honest with them was very compelling. There were then, and there are now, a lot of things that can kill a sheep, or in Wilbur's case, a pig. And it was hard to tell the good guys from the bad guys. As the days went by, Wilbur grew and grew. He ate 3 big meals a day. He spent long hours lying on his side, half asleep, dreaming pleasant dreams. He enjoyed good health, and he gained a lot of weight. One afternoon, when Fern was sitting on her stool, the oldest sheep walked into the barn and stopped to pay a call on Wilbur. "Hello," she said. "Seems to me you're putting on weight." "Yes, I guess I am," replied Wilbur. "And my age is a good idea to keep gaining." "Just the same, I don't envy you," said the old sheep. "You know why they're fattening you up, don't you?" "No," said Wilbur. "Well, I don't like to spread bad news," said the sheep. "But they're fattening you up because they're going to kill you, that's why." "They're going to what?" screamed Wilbur. Fern grew rigid on her stool. "Kill you. Turn you into smoked bacon and ham," continued the old sheep. "Almost all young pigs get murdered by the farmer as soon as the real cold weather sets in. There's a regular conspiracy around here to kill you at Christmas time. Everybody's in on the plot. Lurvy, Zuckerman, even John Arabell." "Mr. Arabell?" sobbed Wilbur. "Fern's father?" "Certainly. When the pig is to be butchered, everybody helps. I'm an old sheep, and I see the same thing. Same old business, year after year." One of the reasons these verses are so powerful is that they show what can happen when you're outside the care of the Good Shepherd. Just like with Wilbur, it's hard to tell what people's motivations are. It's hard to see what their end game is. The people you think are going to care for you may be wolves out for the kill. The ones that you think you're safe with are the ones that will snatch you, scatter you. We can trust Jesus, but we can't always trust the people around him. Those that claim to love him, but are not the real Savior. Those who claim to love us, but really are looking to slaughter us for their own gain. It's only the Good Shepherd that is there to protect. That is the message that we need to be spreading, the good news of the Good Shepherd. Verse 16 says this, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." It reminds me so much of the Great Commission. The motivation behind that should be this verse. There are other sheep out there, other sheep that listen when they hear the voice of God, and sometimes God can use us as his voice. We can be the thing that helps to call the other sheep to the safety of the herd. Sometimes those sheep have already been scattered. Sometimes those sheep have listened to the wolves. Sometimes the church has been the one herding and scattering and been the wolf in disguise. As believers, as faithful people who show the love of God well beyond these church walls, we have to show them and sometimes convince them that they are truly safe with Jesus. He uses our voice to be the voice of love and kindness. The old sheep may start out really grumpy. Not wrong, but grumpy. I'll admit, there are some mornings when I wake up and people have already sent me their brilliant Wordle score that I think, wow, you couldn't even let me get my coffee before you start beating me. I get it. Sometimes in life, we just want to be direct and tell people how to act, which, by the way, never works. The old sheep may be really direct with some doom and gloom for our favorite pig, Wilbur. But in the end, the old sheep comes through with a better way. Charlotte may save the day with her writing, but it is the sheep that softens and gives Wilbur some hope. The old sheep softens. The old sheep becomes the one with the best advice. "Listen to me," whispered the old sheep to Wilbur. When they open the crate and try to put you in, struggle. Don't go without a tussle. Pigs always resist when they are being loaded. If I struggle, I'll get dirty, said Wilbur. Never mind that. Do as I say. Struggle. If you were to walk into the crate without resisting, Zuckerman might think you were bewitched. He'd be scared to go to the fair. The old sheep is helping to ensure Wilbur goes to the fair and is judged as the best pig. The old sheep may not be quite as good as the same as the good shepherd. At the end, we see her both make fun of Templeton the rat and then herald the spring, like the bad news of the wolves alongside the other sheep being brought to the fold. As a result of overeating, Templeton grew bigger and fatter than any rat ever saw. He was gigantic. He was as big as a young woodchuck. The old sheep spoke to him about his size one day. You will live longer, said the old sheep, if you ate less. Who wants to live forever? Sneered the rat. I'm naturally a heavy eater, and I get untold satisfaction from the pleasures of the feast. He patted his stomach, grinned at the sheep, and crept upstairs to lie down. From the pond, in shrill chorus, came the voices of hundreds of little frogs. Springtime, said the old sheep thoughtfully. Another spring. As she walked away, Wilbert saw a new lamb following her. Springtime. Eastertide. Brings new life. And new chances for the other sheep. The new sheep. And the old grumpy ones to come into the flock. Where are the other sheep in your life? When was the last time you looked for them and gave them away to come to the flock? When was the last time you found another sheep and gave them hope? When we come to the flock, we get to be loved by the Good Shepherd that not only cares for us all, but willingly laid down his life so that we all may live as one of his flock. Amen. As we go throughout this week, let us look for the other sheep so we can bring them alongside us into the fold. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.